All right. As you might have surmised, we'll be on lesson 40. The time draws near. And Mickey did start on this lesson on the 17th, I guess was the last time he was here. And hopefully we'll sort of finish this up and get into the questions on lesson 40. I have printed sheets for the lesson 40 questions here. If you need them, remember they're not in your book. Okay, in this one about the time draws near, we'll be emphasizing more of things that went on in Palestine proper and looking at some of the kingdoms that were there, or the that were in power at that time, but sort of tying it in with the lesson from last time also. All right, I want to go over again just to make sure that I remember, or we remember. So you'll remember last time on Wednesday, we talked about where the how the kingdom, the kingdom of Alexander the Great, was divided up, and so it was between generals or people that were very close to Alexander, and it was divided up into the Ptolemaic dynasty in Egypt, the Seleucid dynasty in Mesopotamia. And Central Asia, the Attalid Empire in Anatolia, and the Antigonid Empire or dynasty in Macedonia. Of course, apparently, due to all this, Alexander IV and Philip III lives also ended suddenly. Yes?
And we're to understand that the Seleucid is also this, known as the Syrian.
Yeah, I was listening to the one that Mickey did on, I guess, the Sunday before, and he mentioned the Syrian Empire, and some of the maps do say Syrian Empire.
The lesson says that.
Oh, that's why it says, okay. And but it was the reign of the Seleucids, and so they are the ones that we call the Syrian Empire. I think that probably the folks in this historical realm stuff refer to it as the Seleucid Empire to keep from mixing it up with the Assyrian Empire. So I realize that Mickey had to say that a couple of times to remind us that indeed what we were talking about was the Syrian Empire, not the Assyrian Empire. So once again, we have the Seleucid or Syrian Empire, this area here, which takes up the vast majority of what used to be the Assyrian Empire. Yes?
I was just going to point out in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Mickey had mentioned this too. It says, "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria."
Governor of Syria, okay.
So, I mean, it's an important thing to recognize what Syria is.
Right, and at that time then, as we're talking there now, that's the Roman Empire. At that time, as we're talking about that, you see this little word right here says Damascus. At that time, the province of Syria would have covered portions of what we know as Syria today, and I think down into Palestine, down to Jerusalem, but I think it didn't go all the way down like into the desert or anything like that.
So by the time of Luke's writing, it was the province of Rome.
It was a province of Rome,
still
right?
The area still called Syria.
Yes, yes, and today the area here is called Syria. So, but obviously they don't have a whole lot of land. Certainly not this much. And it's interesting. This map, of course, as I said last time, is in German. So it says Reich des Chandragupta. Okay, so it's the kingdom of Chandragupta, and. Alexander the Great tried to get into India, but apparently this Chandragupta guy was quite the general over there in India and managed to hold off Alexander. Of course, what, you know, holding off Alexander with a supply chain this long shouldn't be all that hard, you know. You know, you got a gazillion miles between here and there, and, you know, how are you going to supply an army way out there at the ends of the earth, as it were? I guess no real surprise that Chandragupta was able to hold him off. And he kept holding them off and finally managed to wheedle away at the Syrian or Seleucid Empire and reduce them in size also by the time that the Romans finally came over And I think the Romans really didn't even get this far. They, you know, kind of abbreviated in here somewhere. But I remembered if we look at the Attalid dynasty and go to the, once again, I'm just going to Wikipedia stuff, but what we're looking at is when did the Roman Empire start, as it were? So we see as far as the Attalid Empire went, which was, yeah, you can see it there, but not very well. But you see that that Attalus III bequeathed his kingdom to the Roman Republic in 133 BC to avoid a likely succession crisis. So at 133 BC, the Attalid Empire was gone. Let me see if I can find that on here now. So that's going to be this kingdom up here. So here's Macedonia, and here's what Roman province is Berea in? No, this is Achaia. It's Macedonia, and this is something else. I don't know what it is. Anyway, all this area then is the Attalid Empire, and of course you can see that he is one of the closer people to Rome, and as they started expanding, they hit him first, and he succeeded in 133 BC. And then if we go over and look back here at the Antigonid, or the kingdom that happened in Macedonia. So they went. Notice, well, I guess all we can say here is in 168 BC, Perseus was the last king of the Antigonid dynasty. And so, given that they were the closest to Rome, you would expect that they would have gotten taken over first. As a matter of fact, just a quick jump across with the Roman navy. That's one of the things that helped Rome to expand its borders, was the fact that it had an effective navy, whereas many of these other kingdoms and empires did not. Yes?
What's the pink dot?
The pink one? That's a... this guy here says it's Atreus or something like that. Apparently it was like some sort of independent kingdom. I'm trying to remember now. There was some comment about it in something that I read. What Philip of Macedon and Alexander the Great did was to take and unite the Empire of Greece from a bunch of city-states into something that was a little more universally oriented and had a king or an emperor in charge. And it's possible, I guess, maybe that these guys somehow got left out. I didn't look to see what they are. And this thing is just not big enough for me to see. See if I can make it bigger. It says Epirus.
Yeah, that's listed on. I've got a map of Paul's missionary journeys.
Oh.
Yeah, it's got that area. It says that really.
It says Epirus.
Epirus.
Really? In the New Testament?
And then, it's just a map.
Oh, okay.
But over on the other side, on the right side of Macedonia, you were asking about that. That's called Thrace.
Thrace, okay. Okay, that's probably what they were saying here in German, but I didn't understand it. Okay.
You couldn't find an English map?
And you haven't yet. You have a German map, why?
Nein, ich habe nicht. So, I take what I can get. Remember, yeah, Schwarzes Meer, Black Sea. Interestingly enough, this one here in German says Mittelmeer, which just means the Middle Sea. So I don't know why we call it the Mediterranean. So these two guys were taken over rather quickly. And then, of course, the Romans had to contend with this big Syrian or Seleucid Empire, and also had to contend with the Ptolemaic Empire down in Egypt. So the It was interesting in reading through what happened as it pertains to Judea, that really the Romans didn't come into a whole lot of power until like the 60s and 40s BC. You know, I thought it would have been way back in the couple of hundreds or something like that, but it turns out it wasn't. So it was just in the double digits BC that Rome really started being a power in this area, well, in the Fertile Crescent area. And as a matter of fact, this extent of the empire, if we take all of this as the Grecian Empire, for example, not over to Italy, but down here and down into Egypt and all that, their empire, the amount of land that they held was bigger than the biggest former empire. Lynn.
Wasn't it though because when they first started out to get power, that Rome went to the west?
Yes.
And came around, and then after they were powerful, then they attacked.
Yeah, they went west first. I think maybe, and it might have been even easier for them. We don't have a bigger map here. I guess I could go to the big guy here. That's how the Middle East looks, right? Upside down. Yeah, so if we... Yeah, they did. Yeah, they went up into Spain and they took some Gaul or whatever Germany was called, or Germany and France up in here. As a matter of fact, some of their forays went into England, right? So we still have... what's that? There's a famous wall in northern England.
Mm-hmm.
The Wall of Hadrian.
A few centuries after.
It was a few centuries here and there. So, anyway, the Romans really did get very extensive. And so, by the time that they were at their greatest expanse, they were much bigger than any other kingdom that had been around up until that time. I can't believe I have a cursor right in the middle of my... Anyway. So we had the Seleucid Empire then was coming over here and down this way, and then the Ptolemaic Empire continuing to occupy Egypt and really taking the place of the pharaohs. And you see that in Egyptian history. You look at that and you see that these people took over, but they were people from the north. That's what they mentioned that they are. Some of the pictures that I think we looked at a couple of pictures last time, they actually managed to Egyptize, you might say, some of these Ptolemies also. So even though the Ptolemies were there to prosecute the Greek way of life, they realized that in order to gain the hearts, as it were, of the people, they needed to do something to make it at least appear like they were part of Egypt. Yes.
I just think they probably saw that being pharaoh had a lot to do with that hat. You know, you got to wear the pharaoh hat.
If you got a pharaoh hat, yeah, that does it. Yep. Yeah. That was a pretty mean looking hat. So
it was.
All right. So when we get right down to it, though, when we look at the time that we're entering into now, we realize that the Ptolemaic and the Seleucid Empire, something has to be done with them in order for Rome to be in the position that it is when we start reading the New Testament. And that's exactly what happened, is that the Romans just started going around the Mittelmeer and gaining ground all the way around. I think I had a map last time that showed how they went around, and is that in our lesson book?
Yes. 162.
162. Oh, yeah, that one.
Got their DOT out there building all those roads.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so here we see their expansion into Gaul and Spain, obviously a little more than 50 miles on perimeter of the Mediterranean Sea, but this then is what the Romans did. They just started taking things and strengthening themselves, and actually they jumped across here from Sicily into Africa and and took this area, what is that, Carthage, up here, and started taking that, moved a little ways this way, I suppose, and then finally started taking over further to the east and coming down through the Fertile Crescent into Egypt. Finally did take Egypt, and I think it was in 40-something B.C. when Caesar Augustus appointed Cleopatra, who was a Ptolemy anyway, but appointed Cleopatra. Is this Cleopatra the what? We talked about this last time. The seventh, right. So this is not Cleopatra like Cleopatra was something really unusual in Egypt. It was a name that had been used for quite a while in Egypt as a royal name, I guess. So this was Cleopatra the seventh. So Caesar Augustus came down in 40-something. It's in our book here. And as a matter of fact, it's one of the questions. and appointed Cleopatra as the king or emperor or whatever. Yes?
Yeah, it was Julius Caesar.
So what did Caesar Augustus?
Really? Oh, yeah, you're right. Right. This was before. So Julius Caesar.
Julius
okay.
Caesar.
It's in the book. It's a good thing you're looking at the book. I'm not. On what? 160 who?
163 in that subheading labeled Jerusalem, third paragraph down.
Oh, yeah. All right, the one where it says Julius Caesar followed Pompey to Egypt? And after
yeah,
a second.
The next
one. Oh, the famous Cleopatra ruler. Okay, all right.
Because Augustus Caesar was at the time of
Jesus. Yeah, you're right.
Because that's who had the census.
Yeah, too many Caesars around.
And
Octavian. Augustus Caesar, Octavian, yeah. So, all right, so they came down and appointed that, and then I think... what's his name? Julius Caesar, and I think later on he and Pompey sort of got in a fight amongst themselves, because I know that Pompey died rather suddenly later on.
And wasn't Octavian Cleopatra's son?
You know, I don't remember that, and it doesn't mention anything here about it, but. If we go back to, not that. Octavian? Okay. Let me go back here to and look up, because I remember that this article here had, on the Ptolemaic dynasty, had a map of who was who. Yeah, this will get you dizzy. Cleopatra the Seventh, it says, was also married to Mark Antony, and also, well, it implies here that she was married to Julius Caesar also.
Before Mark Antony.
Pardon?
Before Mark Antony, wasn't it?
Say it again.
Wasn't she married to Julius Caesar before Mark?
Yes, I think so, yeah. And then we have Ptolemy the 15th from them. And then from these guys, we got Ptolemy to Philip, Cleopatra and Alexander Helios. So.
I really thought his name was Octavian. Which one?
That a son of Cleopatra was Octavian? Well, we could look him up at some time. So. I forgot what I was talking about. What was I talking about? I don't know. Hard telling, isn't it?
Cleopatra.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Julius Caesar goes down, appoints Cleopatra that's Cleopatra. No, that is Cleopatra VII. Appoints Cleopatra the VII to be the monarch of the Ptolemaic Empire. And I guess at that time is when they married. Or... perhaps they were already married, or who knows what. But anyway, one of those political marriages, no doubt. And they had a son, Ptolemy the 15th. I believe, I remember reading also down here further that Ptolemy the 15th didn't have a very long life either. So he expired rather quickly, I think. And then Mark Antony and another guy, got Octavius, got together. All right, so, okay, a power struggle, okay, that's right. So on page 163, the third paragraph from the bottom says there's a power struggle between Mark Antony and Octavian. And then Antony and Cleopatra, who were married at that time, their armies were defeated by Octavian in 31 B.C., and at that time, then, Egypt became a Roman province. So, this one here. So, at that time, then, you might say that the light blue here extends to everything that you can see over here, and also now includes the Ptolemaic Empire in Egypt. So, Octavian took care of that.
Carolyn. Okay, it appears to me that after Jesus was born, they fled to Egypt. Who would have been the ruler at the time, shortly after Jesus' birth?
So that was Herod the Great, I believe, was ruler at the time of Jesus' birth, who was Antipater's son, right?
He's in Egypt.
Oh, I don't. Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't me. So obviously when they fled to Egypt, there would have been some sort of ruler in Egypt, whether he was a figurehead put in place by the Romans and was an Egyptian, or if they just had some Roman general down there taking care of Egypt.
They were a little perhaps unstable too.
Egyptians are always unstable.
But they hadn't been, it was different than in the era of the pharaohs where there was a long-standing dynasty that just went on and on.
Right. The invaders from the north, which started way back when the Ptolemaic Empire started, were not always thought of in the best of light, but in some instances they were thought of as saviors from the pharaohs that they had, and that they were not treating the people as well as the people might like to be treated. So I think that they thought that when the Ptolemies came in and took over Egypt, that in a lot of instances they were better off that way. Now, there was a lot of difficulty between northern Egypt, otherwise known as Lower Egypt, and Southern Egypt, also known as Upper Egypt, because why? The what?
Elevation.
No. The flowing of the Nile River, which flows from the south to the north. So this is Upper Egypt and this is Lower Egypt, simply because that's the direction of the Nile. And water flows down. I'm sure. Yeah, that's probably why. Also, well, if you've got enough head of water up at the other side, water can flow uphill too. But anyway, be that as it may, Their big, really, ceremonial capitals were down here in the southern part of Egypt. But the sort of capital of the country was up here either in the Cairo or Alexandria area. And so they had a certain amount of distance between them and perhaps the more zealous Egyptian people that were down here in the more religiously oriented area down here where we have the... was it Thebes and I can't remember what?
Ramses.
Yeah, well, a lot of stuff for Ramses is up here in the north. And I can't think of the name of the other. It's probably right there, and I can't see it. But anyway, the one that Johnny Carson used to talk about, as far as the, I can't think of it. Yeah, the main edge are on Punk and Weichel's porch. Thebes and Ptolemais is down there, but that's interesting to note that there's a town down in southern Egypt called Ptolemais, and then the town of Thebes down there starts with a K. Karnak. So the Temple of Karnak is down here, and then all of the burial sites are over here on the west side of the river. And I think I've mentioned that before, that it was the Egyptians' thought that their temples would be on the east side of the river at the rising sun, and their funeral places, their burial places, will be on the west side of the river at the setting sun. And so that's what you'll see when you go down and, you know, take a tour down the Nile River, for example. You'll see that all the temples are on the east side, all the burial places are on the west side. That has little or nothing to do with what we're talking about, though. So, anyway, all right, it says here on page 163, talking about Julius Caesar being murdered in 44 BC. Now we see that Cleopatra, who is married to Mark Antony, that they are now, it says, in a power struggle with Octavian. Now, the thing is that as both Mark Antony and Cleopatra are appointed rulers by the Roman government, but Octavian is the person that's going to become the first what?
Caesar.
First Caesar, first real emperor. Up until this time, this 44 time or somewhere in that neighborhood, they had what was referred to as the Roman Republic, where it was more democratic. In other words, they had a Senate that ruled and this and that and the other thing. When the emperors started coming in, then things changed a bit as far as politically. Jenny?
I looked it up real quick. Julius Caesar is the maternal great-uncle of Octavian, and Julius named him his successor in his will.
Oh, so the maternal great-uncle. Okay, I won't even try and figure out that relationship. But all right, so Octavian is related to Julius Caesar. Did it say whether he's related to Cleopatra? So whether it went down that, well, okay. At some time. I don't know how many wives that Julius Caesar had. So. Cleopatra did? Oh, yeah. We know she had at least two up here on the timeline. Yeah. Okay. All right. So with Julius going away, then Octavian wants all the power that he can get. He certainly doesn't want to share it with Mark Antony and Cleopatra. And so after he defeated them, it looks like, though, that it took him, about 13 years, about a dozen years of battling here in order to actually defeat the Ptolemaic forces down there in Egypt. At that time, though, it became a Roman province, and then Octavian became the first Roman emperor, and he got that title, Augustus Caesar. Now, we need to remember that both of those names, Augustus and Caesar, are titular names. They don't mean anything. In translation, Augustus means exalted or something like that. I believe Caesar means, forget what Caesar means, means something else. Look that up too. Look everything up.
Salad dressing.
Okay. All right. So it's exalted salad dressing. So, all right. So, now, that, the reason that I wanted to bring out all of these empires and everything and get us some history going here is that when we look at the prophecy in Daniel, we realize that we've got those four pieces of the statue. And we realize that he says that the gold at the top is you, Nebuchadnezzar, who is head of the what empire?
Babylonian
Empire. And then after you will come another empire, and we have well defined that as which empire? The Medo-Persian Empire. And then after you will come another empire, which is the Grecian Empire. However, the Grecian Empire is much less defined than the Assyrian, the Babylonian, or the Medo-Persian. When you talk about the Grecian Empire, everybody goes, what? You know, is that like Greece or what? And so it turns out that when we look at the empire that was defeated by Rome, it was really the Ptolemaic and Seleucid empires, but they were both Hellenistic empires. They were offshoots of Alexander the Great's conquerors. And so Alexander the Great had generals and close companions to which his empire was divided up after his his death at age, what, 32 or something like that, in Babylon. And so I just wanted us to make sure, because I've always wondered about it. I said, what Grecian empire are we talking about? Well, it's not like it's some, you know, solid entity that we can look at and say, well, here, this is the Babylonian Empire. The Grecian Empire sort of waxed and waned and everything as we went through the ages. And then by the time that the Roman Empire came in to take over, they had already assimilated the empires of that were in Macedonia and Thrace and took those away and started making inroads here then into the Seleucid Empire and had made great inroads into the Ptolemaic Empire. And so they did take over the Grecian Empire, but it was not quite as awesome, you might say, as what happened to the Babylonian Empire when the king just walked in on the drunken Babylonian king and took over the empire for the Medes and the Persians. So we see indeed that there was a Grecian Empire, and that it was just not as well defined as some of the other empires. And then, of course, the Roman Empire became quite well defined as we went later on. Is it this one? Yeah. So the Roman Empire then became quite large and became the largest empire that the world had known up until that time. Even though the Roman Empire appears to have been around for quite a while, it wasn't like a unified empire the whole time. Once again, I might give the example of the United States. The United States is the longest single type of government that has ever been known in the world. In other words, all of the other governments in the world have had changes in the way that they work and rule in a period less than the 200 plus years that we've been around. So even the British Empire, which was around and owned a lot of the world for a lot of times, they had lots of changes in the way that their political structure went. But the United States, 200 and whatever years ago, you know, started out with a Declaration of Independence and a Constitution, and that's the type of government we have to today. These governments weren't like that. And so when you look at the Roman Empire and you start studying about the Roman Empire, they want to divide it up into the Roman Republic, which was before the emperors. So you remember all the neat pictures that people draw of you know, with Julius Caesar being assassinated by people in the Senate or something like that, and go, okay, well, you know, what?
Brutus.
A tu, Brute, right? Stabbed him in the back. And, you know, that was during the Republic era. That's why we say that Octavian was the first emperor. You go, well, what about Julius Caesar? Wasn't he an emperor? No, he wasn't. I mean, he was named by the Senate to be king or emperor or whatever of the Roman Empire. But it was while there was still some sort of nominally democratic form of government in Rome. And then later on, Octavian essentially became, you might say, the dictator of Rome. Yeah, Randy.
It's just a point of interest, but historically speaking, it's interesting that prior to Julius Caesar, the Roman calendar had 10 months.
10 months.
And the Latin words that mean, you know, some of the later ones we can understand that the name of the month, September, means 7, October means 8, November means 9, December, best means 10.
Right.
But when Julius Caesar was king, he decided that he needed a month named after him. So they changed all the days of the month and borrowed days of each month and created July.
Yeah, July for Julius, yeah.
And then when Octavius became emperor, he said, well, I need my own month as well.
Yes.
Augustus. Octavius is his name.
Oh, okay.
Octavian became Augustus Caesar.
Right.
And made August his month.
August is, yeah.
Borrowed days from all the other months to make his month.
Yeah.
And so scooted all the other ones down. So now what used to be the seventh month is now the ninth month. And October is now the tenth month. usually the eighth.
It's all great.
Scooted everything forward. And that's how we have 12 months today.
Yes.
And with all that, they still didn't come up with leap year day.
Exactly, yeah. They were all 30 days and all that sort of stuff and didn't realize that they were losing time. The sun was moving backwards.
But they called that the Julian calendar.
Julian calendar, right.
And we used, I say we, I mean the world, the civilized world.
Civilized world, yes.
Until the Gregorian calendar, about 400 and something.
Oh, that's the 1700s.
Pope Gregory?
Gregory.
Yeah.
Pope Gregory changed it.
So is that what we use now? It's the Gregorian calendar. That's what
yeah.
we've got.
Yeah,
so,
because
I know what I have hanging up on my office wall called the Julian calendar. It just goes by day. What day of the year is it? You know, this is day 247. You know,
it's just interesting to know how powerful those men were.
Yes.
Change the calendar.
Right. Change the calendar.
I want my name on that calendar, so people remember me the rest of eternity.
And I'm yes, and they do. Yeah, every time that we move into the month of July or August, we think of Julius Caesar and Augustus Caesar. Yeah, Jenny.
I looked up Caesar. It actually has no meaning in terms of royalty.
Okay.
And it was a family name. It started being used as a title at about 60 to 70 A.D. Caesar, the only thing
Harry.
So, depending on how you translate that, they're either known for having fine heads of hair or known for going bald.
Oh, okay. All right. So, just like in England, we could call him King Harry, right? So, okay. So, that's what Caesar means. Okay. All right. So, but later on, it was titular, right? It was in the 60s or 70s? Okay.
Octavian, when Julius Caesar adopted him and put him in the will, was renamed with Caesar in his name. And so then when he adopted Tiberius, they put Caesar in Tiberius' name, and then Tiberius passed along to somebody else. And that's when it became a title, as a tie back to Julius.
Okay. All right. So Caesar has no other meaning other than maybe Harry, and that's about it. But later became titular. All right. That sounds reasonable to me. I'll accept that with, yeah. As long as you got that from Wikipedia. Yeah. All right. So, but that, you know, bringing us up to 31, was it, B.C.? And when Egypt became a Roman province and Octavian became the first emperor, then we just, you know, move along a little bit and we're about 25 or 30 years later when we get into the next paragraph in our lesson title here, when we start talking about the priest Zacharias. Now, it's interesting to note that even though the Roman Empire is in control here, what when we talk about the story of Zacharias here, the father of who?
John.
The Baptist. What's Zacharias doing here? What in the story about Zacharias, what was he doing? Serving in the temple, okay? So the Romans have already, as it were, invaded and taken over. And as a matter of fact, last time, and for the last couple of weeks, we've talked about Antiochus Epiphanes, or Antiochus the IV, who was back in the 160s and 170s B.C., who came in and polluted the temple and, you know, stomped all over it. And then the guy who came in to take over the city again a number of years later, just walked right into the Holy of Holies and all that. I forget who that was. But
Pompey.
Yeah, that's right. So when Pompey came in, yeah, I guess he didn't know any better. He just walked in to see what's going on in there. We see that the temple had been profaned and all that back in the maybe the hundreds B.C., something like that. And see, but by the time we get here to the 30s and 40s, well, in this instance, about 5 B.C. or something like that, because they feel that with the Gregorian, Julian calendar, whatever, that Jesus was really born about 4 or 5 B.C., that so that's the time that we're talking about now, is about 5 B.C. We see that Zacharias is going about doing his temple duties as a priest, a Levite. I think he was. No, he was of the tribe of Levi, right? It says he's a priest. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. The other guys, the other people that aren't of the descent, direct descent of Levi, they're in charge of the furniture and stuff like that. The priests are all Levites, and it's only a certain Levite that can be the high priest by lineage from Aaron. Yeah. so anyway, we see that Zacharias is going into the temple to do his duty. And what are the people doing? They're waiting outside for him to come out and say, okay, the lamps have been lit and the incense has been burnt and such a like as that. And apparently he was going to have some, words for them or something. I don't know whether when the priest was done, if he came out and spoke to them or said something or sang a song or whatever. But what happened in this instance when Zacharias went into the temple? Well, there's a little more to it. He couldn't speak. What did he see? What went on in the temple? The what? Yeah. What's his name? The angel. Gabriel. Right. So there's a discussion between Zacharias and Gabriel, the angel of God, about the fact that he and his wife, Zacharias and his wife, are going to have a baby. Now, once again, much like a character way back when in the Old Testament, who was that? There was a bit of humor going on. Yeah. At least on the human side. Zacharias couldn't quite believe this because he was of an aged person and so was his wife.
And wasn't she barren too?
Yeah, they didn't have any children up until that time. Yeah, that's what it says. And so the angel comes in and says, you guys are going to have a baby next year. And he's somewhat dubious of that. And then, as Carolyn mentions, when he comes out, he is unable to speak. Because the angel says, well, if you don't believe me, then here's some proof for you. You won't be able to speak until the baby is born. That's right. He had to. That's right. Yeah, he told him what the name of the baby should be, and he said the name of the baby is supposed to be John the Baptist, right? just John, right? So right. He explained, and this is all in Luke 1:5-25, it says here. And it's John's purpose, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I think that at this time, the people certainly were sort of a mindset to be prepared for the Lord, to a certain extent. We see that as we compare, and Mickey mentioned this in the last class that he had, if we compare how the people were in the book of Malachi and what Malachi had to say about the people that back then, and then we compare that to what we see in the opening verses of the New Testament and what the people are like at that time, we see what appears to be quite a significant spiritual change in them. At least that's openly what it appears like, though we do see that now all of a sudden they're divided into several different sects, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and we realize that there were zealots and others and a number of different sects of the Jewish religion. But we see that they appeared to be a whole lot more faithfully religious than they were back at the time of Malachi. Of course, we realize between Malachi and now we have a period of how many years? 400 years. So that's a long time. And we look at it like, well, it's only the space between this page and this page in my Bible. But it's just a horrifically long period of time when you start looking at it, comparing the amount of time that it is to us. I mean, if we just go back 400 years from now, back to the 1600s, we go, who knows anything about the 1600s, Pilgrims, right? And You can't go out to Plymouth Rock and, you know, and ask 10 people and have them, any of them, agree on whether the pilgrims stepped on this rock or came here first or went up to Connecticut or what first. You know, there's just nothing. I think the idea behind the fact that there's only, you know, one page between the Old Testament and the New Testament seems to indicate to us that this is a rather short period of time. But all sorts of things. The entire Grecian Empire rose and was defeated in the period between the Testaments. The Roman Empire came to power in the period between the Testaments. When we left the Old Testament, the Persian Empire was still in power. So it's important for us to remember that this was a long period of time. The people changed quite a bit, Randy.
And as the lesson book points out, the Hasmonean dynasty was something that we don't read about in the page between our testaments either.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, you know, the Maccabees and that whole story.
Right.
The rebellion against the powers that be when Antiochus went up and set up statues of Zeus inside the temple.
Right.
By the way, I'm Zeus.
I'm Zeus and sacrifice swine and things like that.
Swine.
Everything he could do to insult these people.
Yeah. And that stirred the people up and made a violent revolution.
Right.
And they pretty much pushed the Seleucids out.
They did.
Installed John Hyrcanus as king, or his son, I guess.
Antipater, was it?
Yeah, Antipater. And then, of course, then there was a major division because they said you can't be king because you're not of the lineage of David. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
A lot of political division just within the Jews at that point.
Right.
All that happened in between the Testaments.
All that happened, yeah. So we know nothing about, you know, essentially what happened in Judean history at that period of time. Yeah. So, okay. Next time, which will be Wednesday, yes, Mickey and Donna should be back tomorrow.